Before the expiration of the 2 hours, the stalls, the enormous dilapidated organ, the choir screen of Bishop John de Mauléon, the remnants of glass and tapestry, and the objects in the treasure chamber had been well and truly examined, the sacristan still keeping at Denniston's heels, and every now and then whipping round as if he had been stung, when one or other of the strange noises that trouble a large empty building fell on his ear. Curious noises they were, sometimes. Once, Denniston said to me, I could have sworn I heard a thin metallic voice laughing high up in the tower. I darted an inquiring glance at my sacristan. He was white to the lips.
It is he. That is, it is no one. The door is locked, was all he said,
and we looked at each other for a full minute. Another little incident puzzled Denniston a good deal. He was examining a large, dark picture that hangs behind the altar, one of a series illustrating the miracles of Saint-Bertrand. The composition of the picture is well-nigh indecipherable, but there is a Latin legend below, which runs thus. Qualiter sancta Bertrandus liberavit hominum quem diabolus Dieu volebat strangulari. How Saint-Bertrand delivered a man whom the devil long sought to strangle. Denniston was turning to the sacristan with a smile and a jocular remark of some sort on his lips, but he was confounded to see the old man on his knees, gazing at the picture with the eye of a suppliant in agony, his hands tightly clasped and a rain of tears on his cheeks. Denniston naturally pretended to have noticed nothing, but the question would not go away from him. Why should a daub of this kind affect anyone so strongly? He seemed to himself to be getting some sort of clue to the reason of the strange look that had been puzzling him all the day. The man must be a monomaniac. But what was his monomania? It was nearly 5 o'clock. The short day was drawing in, and the church began to fill with shadows, while the curious noises, the muffled footfalls and distant talking voices that had been perceptible all day, seemed, no doubt because of the fading light and the consequently quickened sense of hearing, to become more frequent and insistent. The sacristan began for the first time to show signs of hurry and impatience. He heaved a sigh of relief when camera and notebook were finally packed up and stowed away, and hurriedly beckoned Denniston to the western door of the church under the tower. It was time to ring the Angelus. A few pulls at the reluctant rope, and the great bell, Bertrande, high in the tower, began to speak, and swung her voice up among the pines and down to the valleys, loud with mountain streams.